Our scripture reading for this morning is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Father, without whose blessing we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and govern our hearts through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever known somebody who had a knack for getting himself into trouble? I had a friend like that in high school. I don't know exactly what it was. He was a little bit mischievous. Maybe that, well, for sure, that was part of it. But he was not quarrelsome, and the kind of mischief he got into was fun mischief. It wasn't cruel or hurtful mischief. But I think the other part of it was, not only was he always just always up to something, but he had a look about him. And he always looked guilty. Even when he wasn't up to something, he still looked like he was. And so he was the guy, he would be speeding through town and you'd see him pulled over, the police would have him, and he wouldn't just be getting a ticket, he'd be outside the car with his hands on top of the car and his legs spread, and the policeman's frisking him. That was my friend Joey. St. Paul was a man who seemed to get into a lot of trouble. Imprisonments, beatings, stonings, and scourgings, but unlike Joey, he didn't bring it on all by himself. Rather, his problems were brought on by an invisible army, an army of demonic beings who are opposed to God and opposed to all that God stands for and opposed to the people of God, including the Ephesians to whom Paul writes this section of scripture that we've just read. Not only are those demons opposed to God and St. Paul and the Ephesians, but they're opposed to you and me as well. And St. Paul describes the enemy forces that are arrayed in battle against God's people. He describes them in verse 12, and then he names, actually before that in verse 11, their leader. And he says their leader is the devil. And here is what he says in verse 12, just to read it again. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So as you can see, when we say that we fight against the devil, really, we don't mean just the devil. We mean a whole army that he has at his disposal, of whom he is the commander in chief. The catechism that I learned from said, when speaking about demons, it said they are of great number and of great power. Note particularly here, St. Paul makes it clear not only who the enemy is, but also who the enemy is not. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I mean, that means human beings. I mean, we're made out of flesh and blood. But it seems like we wrestle an awful lot against flesh and blood, doesn't it, to you? Just ask two roommates who aren't even speaking to each other anymore. And what about these people in Hollywood who mock Christians, and they make movies who mock our Lord and television shows that mock us? Aren't we fighting against them? Well, while we stand for the truth is really that those are just unwitting pawns in the hands of the real enemy. The real enemy is numerous. The real enemy is powerful. And as I read this passage, it sounds to me like the forces that are arrayed against you and me too are the elite forces of the devil. The way that they are described as the principalities, that means the principal ones, the main ones, the rulers of the forces of darkness. That is a sobering statement, isn't it? That Satan sends his best against you. If it wasn't so sobering, it'd be kind of flattering. But it's too sobering for that. Verse 11 says, put on the whole army of God so that you may... Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The schemes of the devil. That implies planning, scheming, plotting. He attacks not just on the spur of the moment. He may do that too, but oftentimes he's planning and he's plotting your downfall. He's thinking it through. How can I best attack this Christian? One commentator says that deceit is his most potent force. Deception. Well, that would make sense because Jesus calls him the father of lies, doesn't he? And as soon as you and I begin to strike out against someone else as if they are the real enemy, we've already fallen for his deceit, haven't we? Doesn't that describe you sometimes? Sure does me. Striking out against the wrong enemy. You know, your friends are not the enemy. Oh, you may argue from time to time. Your real enemy is not your mom or dad. It's not the faculty, although it seems like it a lot. It's not your boss. The real enemy is spiritual. The real enemy is pulling strings behind the scenes that we can't even see. And he tries to deceive us into spending our energy on each other. And he has really even more of a goal than that. His higher goal is this. Really, it is to tempt you into craving something, anything. And we heard a whole list of those somethings yesterday, some I had never even thought of. He tempts us into craving those things more than we want Jesus and his forgiveness, so that eventually that craving might actually turn us from our Lord Jesus. And so what are we to do? We have this powerful army arrayed against us. We can't even see them. Seems like we ought to just dig a foxhole and bury ourselves in it and hide. But that's not what Paul says. Paul acts as if, when he's writing this passage, he acts as if we can take him on. He says, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And there is the key. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. After all, he's already defeated the devil once. He did that at Calvary. He did that when he walked up that hill carrying your sins and mine upon his back. And when he bled his blood and washed them all away. He's already beaten Satan wants. And in the process, paid for every sin. Every time you've succumbed to that temptation, he's washed it all clean. What a thought that is, isn't it? You can stand before him with a clean conscience. That's what he did. And I'm going to be redundant here and say something everybody else has said this whole week, that we've been focusing on Satan here in chapel and upon the one who defeated him, Christ our Lord. But the key to defeating him in a personal way in your life is your connection with Jesus. That's the key. And the key to that is, I need to read my Bible. That's where the strength, that is, that's where the power. Be strong in the power of his might. That's where the power comes from. His word. And I need to take the Lord's Supper. That's where the power comes to me. That's where the forgiveness also comes to me. That's where his power comes from. That's where he shares it. And he gives it to you. And now he says, let's go get him.